Good morning. It's time for our K-State Research and Extension Report, and today we have with us Frontier Extension District Crop Production and Farm Management Agent Ryan Shaw. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning. How are you today?
Not too shabby. A little bummed. Don't get to see your smiling face this morning, but I know you got stuff to do. How's it going out there?
Oh, it's going all right. Can't complain too much. So.
Yeah, usually you say can't complain too much because nobody's going to listen. But I'm listening, our listeners are listening, and we've got another important topic to bring up. And we're going to be talking about standing water in corn, which is the worst Thanksgiving dish ever. But tell us what you really mean.
Yeah, so a lot of our fields have seen some excess rain the last few weeks, and I think it's important to talk about what that standing water can do to these young corn plants. So standing water or saturated soil conditions in areas of a field can drastically impact corn yields starting now, but we also might not see those issues until they pop up later on, and we'll discuss some of those. And to all of our producers, hopefully the affected areas are relatively small and confined to some poorly drained spots and just those low-lying areas across the field. Now, after corn emerges, saturated soils are going to really inhibit root growth, leaf expansion, and the photosynthesis process. And the first symptom or sign of photosynthesis slowing down is going to be the yellowing of leaves. There is a chance that we see some purple corn, some K-State corn, if that photosynthesis continued, but that growth slowed down, we could see those corn leaves turn a purplish color. That's going to be because the plant continued to try to grow, and then we see the accumulation of some of those sugars because the growth ain't there, but the plant's taking up photosynthesis. So just one of those things. More often than not, it'll grow out of that relatively quickly, but only if the conditions kind of improve fairly quickly. Root growth can also compensate for some of these issues later in the season. The issue with a super wet spring is those roots don't ever like really grow down and maybe utilize all the nutrients, the fertilizers that we've put out, but they stay relatively shallow. And the first thing we think about when those root systems are relatively shallow, of course, is what happens when we get hot and dry, like we inevitably will in Kansas. We're going to have some drought periods even in a wet year. If those root systems are too shallow, they're going to run out of water too quickly, and that's going to lead to some other issues. Now, we could also see some standability issues if those root systems don't become fully developed and hold that plant down. High winds late in the year, we can see some green snaps where these plants just truly just break over. So that can make it a real kind of a pain to harvest those fields. So there are some issues with this shallow root growth and how we need these plants to truly go ahead and kind of stabilize them. The first thing our producers are going to think of, though, when we start talking about standing water and saturated soils is going to be the nitrogen loss in those fields. Had a couple of questions already about how much nitrogen has been lost and what maybe these producers ought to be doing. So just for those that don't know, saturated soils can lead to nitrogen loss either by denitrification, kind of the loss of the nitrogen to the atmosphere, or leaching. Okay, so and leaching is going to be the movement of that nitrogen down through our soil profile, kind of away from those roots. Now, any of those losses to occur, the nitrogen has to be in a mobile form. So the mobile form of nitrogen would be in the nitrate. And depending on the fertilizer application method And thymine, most of that nitrogen could still be in a less mobile form of ammonium. But it doesn't take too long for that to transform over to that nitrate, that more mobile form of nitrate. So depending, again, if you've used anhydrous in the late winter, early spring time period, let's say February, and you put a nitrogen stabilizer on it, how much did you lose? Well, the loss could be fairly minimal, but if we've seen, you know, maybe you put it on last fall, and we've experienced a lot of moisture. Think back about December, January time period. We had quite a little bit of moisture from snow. We could have lost some of that and had it convert over to that nitrate in that more mobile form. But it isn't just nitrogen loss that's going to be an issue, because these young plants can only handle like 2 to 4 days of flooding before they truly run out of oxygen and have some issues there too. So if we've had a field that's been underwater for a week, chances are we've probably had to replant that field or counting that basically as a loss this year. Because after 48 hours, that soil saturation or a flooding, the oxygen in the soil is going to be depleted, and critical plant functions, as I mentioned, photosynthesis, water uptake, and nutrient uptake can all be impaired or drastically reduced. The thing this time, this spring that we've had kind of working in our favor has been the temperatures. We've stayed mostly cool and cloudy, kind of limiting the damage from the flooding or those saturated soils because of cool water is going to carry more oxygen in it than warm water, interestingly enough. And so those plants are able to still get a little bit of oxygen because that water has still got some in it. How efficient are they at that? That's up for debate. But I just, you know, it's important to say we've been lucky because we've been relatively cool, even though the temperatures here are starting to rise the last couple of days. The other, and the kind of the last thing I'll talk about with flooding is the chance for some diseases. You know, we can see those problems kind of pop up later. Something like top downy mildew, commonly referred to as crazy top, can pop up later on. You know, saturation of these plants for 24 to 48 hours allows the fungus spores found in the soil to germinate and infect those flooded plants. And symptoms would include like excessive tillering, rolling or twisting of the upper leaves, and eventually both the tassel, so when we get to that point, the tassel and that ear are going to resemble a disorganized kind of mass or just craziness, which goes back to the name of crazy top disease. So we can see a whole list of issues with flooded plants. Again, luckily, I think we've had quite a bit of cool weather after some of these events, and talking to a lot of the producers, a lot of the water is getting off of the fields relatively quickly or going just to affect those low-lying areas. Not all the producers are saying that, but I'm hearing a lot of that. So very limited replanting kind of taking place as far as what I'm hearing right now. But if you guys have questions concerning your corn or just want to give me another update, please don't hesitate to give me a call at the office at 785-448-6826.
Thank you, Ryan. I keep going back to your comments about photosynthesis and thinking, I'm glad sugar doesn't turn me purple or I'd look like a grape.
That's right.
Now,
I'd be a pretty dark purple.
Oh, yeah.
If that was the case.
Walking around looking like plums. there is a lot of information here, and I have a feeling there's a lot more that we could maybe go over in a future report. Do you think we can revisit this topic again?
Absolutely, yeah. I think this is something that we can need to continue to stay on top of, and as maybe as I see some symptoms pop up around the district, you know, maybe from some of these saturated soils or flooding events, you know, we can kind of dive back into some of those and think about what we need to do at that point to handle that or for a management perspective.
I think that'd be a great idea. And for people who are fairly new to this kind of thing, give them an idea of what to look for. And here's how you can see it. Here's how you can deal with it. Yeah, let's go over this again sometime soon, I think.
Sounds good, ma'am.
All right. Thank you very much, Ryan. You have yourself a good day, and we will catch up with you in a couple of weeks. Coming up Monday morning at 6:40, Frontier Extension District Director and Family and Community Wellness Agent Rebecca McFarland.